Now, what happens to human beings when they die? Well, this is a mystery. There are lots of different opinions about it. Most religious people, I think, believe that the dead remain alive in heaven or hell or purgatory. But there are other religious people who believe that the dead simply fall asleep, that they are unconscious until a time of the future resurrection. Now, both of these two groups quote the Bible in support of their beliefs, but they can't both be right, because either the dead are conscious or they're unconscious. It can't be both. Well, there are other opinions too. Atheists and agnostics disbelieve the Bible completely, and therefore they don't believe in any afterlife at all. They just suppose that the dead are dead and they stay dead forever, and that's it. Then there are various other opinions, such as reincarnation and various other philosophies of religions in the Eastern Hemisphere. I think most people in the Western Hemisphere take the Bible as the basis for their belief. But anyway, what is the truth about all of this? Do people go to heaven or somewhere else when they die? Do they fall asleep unconscious until the time of a future resurrection? Or are they just gone forever? Well, I think everybody in this room believes that the dead are unconscious until a time of a future resurrection. That was choice number two of the three opinions I presented. Well, today I would like to examine what the Bible says about life after death. I would like to show you why we believe that the dead are asleep, unconscious, until the time of future resurrection. And I would like to explain, if that be the case, if the dead are dead, why is it that the Bible does contain passages which make the dead seem as if they were alive? Now, I want to caution you to pay attention, especially during the first half of this sermon, because if we understand the scriptures, which clearly prove that the dead are unconscious until the time of the future resurrection, if we understand that, then we'll have no problem unraveling the other scriptures which cause people confusion and which give rise to the religious beliefs that people do go to heaven when they die or do go to hell when they die. Now, we come to church to learn and to study the scriptures, and the Bible is the source for our belief. There is no other source to go to than God's book. So let's open the Bible and turn to the scriptures and find out what it says about this most vital of all subjects, life after death. Let's begin in John chapter 3 and verse 13. And we're going to find that the dead do not go to heaven when they die. In John chapter 3 and verse 13, Jesus Christ himself is speaking. He's speaking to Nicodemus. And they had been discussing the subject of the kingdom of God and being born again. And in verse 13, he says, "No man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man." And then it adds, "who is in heaven." Now this verse is very clear. No man has ascended to heaven except he that came down from heaven. Now that's Jesus Christ. Now we won't turn to John chapter 1 or Acts chapter 1, but I will refer to it. In John chapter 1, we find that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. But then later on in the chapter, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that means Jesus Christ was born as a little tiny baby to the Virgin Mary. We read those accounts in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, how this little baby, Jesus, was born. Well, Jesus was the Word who was with God, and He created all things. And He descended from heaven to the earth, and that's how He did it. He was born in the human flesh as a little child. Then later in Acts chapter 1, which we will not turn to, you find that after Jesus died and was resurrected, He ascended back to heaven. And the disciples were standing there watching Him. And while they were watching, He ascended up to heaven. And then there were two angels standing there, and they said, "Well, you men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you have seen go up to heaven, will so come again, in like manner as you've seen Him go to heaven." So you see, Jesus Christ descended from heaven. He lived a human lifetime, and then He ascended back to heaven. And according to John 3:13, no man has ascended to heaven except Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven. And now He's back in heaven again. Jesus Christ is the only human being who has ascended to heaven. Now, let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we find a list of human beings who have lived their lifetimes in a manner that was pleasing to God. And God is well pleased with these individuals. And these people are deserving of the reward that God has in store for human beings. In verse 4 of Hebrews 11, we find that by faith, Abel offered unto God a sacrifice which God accepted. In verse 5, we find that Enoch pleased God. In verse 7, we find that Noah pleased God. In verse 8, we find that Abraham pleased God. In verse 11, we find that Sarah pleased God. Now in verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off," in other words, far into the future, "and they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Now you see, all of these people that are mentioned here died, but they have not yet received the things that God promised them. Now it continues on. In verse 20, it mentions Isaac. In verse 21, Jacob. Verse 22, Joseph. In verse 23, Moses. And it continues on. In verse 32, the Apostle Paul writes, "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell about Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, and David and Samuel, and all the prophets." All of these human beings were righteous in their lifetimes and have qualified to earn the reward that God has in store for them. In verse 35, it says, "Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And here's why: that they might obtain a better resurrection." Now, this is talking about what we call the first resurrection. Now, all these people are going to come up in a resurrection, but they have not yet received the reward that God has for them. Verse 36, it says, "Others had trials of cruel mockings. Some were imprisoned." Verse 37, "Some were stoned," and so on. Verse 38, "The world was not worthy of these people." And verse 39, "And these all of these people, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." They haven't received what God promised them yet. Now verse 40, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now what verse 40 is saying is that all of these righteous saints are waiting to be rewarded until the time when we also will become ready to receive our reward, and then they with us will be rewarded, and will all be rewarded at the same time, and that is at the time of the resurrection. None of these saints have received their reward yet. and neither have we, but all together will receive the reward at the same time. Now, we turn over now to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 14. And here Jesus is speaking to a group of people at a dinner occasion. In Luke chapter 14, verse 12, "Then he said also to him who invited him," now someone invited Christ to this dinner and he was there, and Jesus told him, "When you make a dinner or a supper, don't call your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and a repayment be made you. But when you make a dinner, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." Now verse 14, "And you shall be blessed, for they cannot repay you, for you shall be rewarded at the resurrection of the just." Now you see, Luke 14:14 says the time that the saints will be rewarded. They will be rewarded at the resurrection of the just. Now, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all," the same all, "be made alive. But every man shall be made alive in his own order. Christ the first fruits." Now look at this. "Afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." Now you see, no man has ascended to heaven so far except Jesus Christ. "But those who are Christ's will be resurrected" when? "At his coming." Not at his first coming, but at his second coming. Now that's very plain in verse 23. "Those who are Christ's will be resurrected at Christ's second coming." Very important to understand this. Dropping down to verse 50 in the resurrection chapter. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump," or trumpet. Now see, that's when. At the last trumpet. That's when we will be changed. In the book of Revelation, we read about seven trumpets, and that seventh trumpet is when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In other words, at the seventh trumpet, when the kingdoms of this world are going to be transformed into the kingdom of God, when Christ comes to rule the earth, the saints will be resurrected, they will be changed to immortal spirit, divine, eternal spirit beings, and that is the time that the Bible says that the righteous saints will receive their reward. Now, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We want to understand what the Bible clearly says on this important subject of life after death. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven," that's Jesus Christ, "with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God," that's the seventh trumpet like we read in 1 Corinthians 15, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and to be with the Lord forever." Now this agrees completely with what we read in Hebrews 11, how that the righteous saints, they all died not receiving the promises, but they're waiting for us, the generation that is alive at the time of the second coming of Christ. Now when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, he was alive, and he didn't know that Christ wasn't coming for another 2,000 years. He thought that Christ was going to come in their lifetime back then. So he said, we which are alive. But in actual fact, he died. He fell asleep. And he is among those listed, or you know, in the same category as Hebrews 11. And now Paul is waiting for us as well, we who are alive now. Because this is the living generation now, the one that we're living in today, 2,000 years later. Now, we don't know for sure if Christ is coming in our generation or not, but we certainly think so. It's likely that he will, and we believe that he will come in our generation. But it doesn't make any difference. All the saints will be rewarded at the same time, and that is at the time of the last trumpet, at the second coming of Christ. Fix these scriptures firmly into your mind. Now, let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we see that David has not ascended to heaven, because in verse 29, Peter is speaking to a group of people on the day of Pentecost about David. And Peter has just finished quoting one of the Psalms, beginning in verse 25, but we're going to break in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you about the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Now you see, David was dead and buried. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn to him with an oath that he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne of David, verse 31, he, seeing this beforehand, spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that Christ would not remain in his grave, but would be resurrected. That's what it's talking about. Verse 32, this Jesus God has raised up from the dead, and we're all witnesses, Peter said. Therefore, verse 33, being at the right hand of God exalted, because Christ ascended back to heaven, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, which God sent forth on this day of Pentecost, you see, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Now, verse 34, for David has not ascended into the heavens, but rather he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You see, David spoke in the Psalms about the resurrection of the Messiah. And David was not speaking about himself, because David was still dead and buried. He was not resurrected from the dead. But Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. So Peter is saying that that Psalm applies to Christ, not to David. Now, why has David not ascended to heaven? Because no man has ascended to heaven. Like we read in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they're waiting for that time of that better resurrection. We will all be rewarded at the second coming of Christ, at the last trumpet, as we've seen. So, we must conclude that the dead are not in heaven, not even the righteous ones, because nobody has ascended to heaven except one person, and that is Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven. Now, the Bible continually refers to the dead as being asleep. You go to sleep at night, and you wake up in the day. When you fall asleep, that's like death. And when you wake up in the morning, it's like a resurrection. Now, 8 hours may have gone by, but it may just seem like a few seconds or a few minutes. It doesn't seem like 8 hours. And that's what the condition of the dead is like. Now, let's turn back to Daniel 12 in verse 1. We'll look at some scriptures that show that the dead are asleep. Daniel 12, verse 1, speaking about the time of the great tribulation and the second coming of Christ, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as was never since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." That means shining like the sun. "And they that turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." Now the point here is that the dead are sleeping. In verse 2, we find that the dead are asleep until the time that they wake up in the resurrection. Now, we turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. "While he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand on her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Now we drop down to verse 23. "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a mourning noise, he said to them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn." Now, don't make any mistake, she was dead. But Christ was about to wake her up, as if coming out of a sleep. "But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose." This young girl had been resurrected from the dead. But the point is here that Jesus said, she's really sleeping. Now, the same story is repeated in Mark and Luke, almost word for word. And we won't turn there, but in Mark 5:39 and Luke 8:52, it simply states again that the girl was sleeping. And death, you see, is like sleep. Now, let's turn over to the book of John, chapter 11. Now, here's another case where Jesus resurrected somebody from the dead. And this is Lazarus in John, chapter 11, and verse 1. "Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Now we drop down to verse 11. "These things said he, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus is sleeping. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, for the purpose that you may believe." See, Jesus knew that a great miracle was about to be performed. Now, dropping down to verse 21, "Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You see, by the time he got there, Lazarus had died. "But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Now, dropping down to verse 32, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept." Now, Jesus was not weeping because Lazarus had died. He was weeping because the people were so sad, and death is like a mystery to most people. And Jesus was groaning because people are so troubled when someone dies and they don't really understand about the future and what happens, life after death. Jesus wept for the people. Verse 36, "Then said the Jews, Look how he loved him. And some of them said, Couldn't this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Didn't I say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. Now again, we find that Jesus referred to the dead as being asleep. Now, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 52. If you think the last account was amazing, I think this one is even more amazing. Matthew 27, verse 52. This was at the precise moment when Jesus was dying on the cross, and when finally he gave up the spirit that was in him and he died. And verse 51, the veil of the temple was torn in half from top to bottom. The earth quaked. There was an earthquake. Rocks split open. Now, verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Now, this is absolutely amazing. They were resurrected just like Lazarus had been resurrected. This was not the time of their ultimate reward. They didn't inherit eternal life. No man has ascended to heaven. But God saw fit to resurrect certain righteous individuals from their graves, and they were seen. Just like Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, and he lived a while longer, but then Lazarus eventually died and fell asleep again, and he's sleeping at this time. And same for these saints here. But again, you see, it refers to the saints as having been asleep in verse 52. Many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now we turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. And here we see that the first Christian martyr besides Christ, Stephen, is killed. In verse 56, Stephen said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. In verse 59, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Stephen called on God and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. See, Stephen fell asleep. Now, yes, the Lord received his spirit, but what does that mean? Well, how does God resurrect us from the dead? When we're resurrected, we're going to be given our same thoughts back again. There is a spirit in man that records all of our thoughts. We don't have time to go into that subject today. But every one of us, we live between our ears. There's a spirit in there, a spirit of intelligence that God gave Adam and Eve, which he did not give the animals. We can understand literature and art and music and lots of things that animals simply cannot do. There's a spirit in man. God takes those spirits. It says back in Ecclesiastes 12 that when we die, our body returns to dust, but the spirit returns to God who gave it. Well, God saves those spirits. We've already seen that the dead are asleep. They have not been rewarded. They have not ascended to heaven. But God does take their spirit. Just like you might take a cassette tape and store it on the shelf until the time you pop it back into the cassette player and it begins playing music again. Well, God can store the spirits of human beings, and then at the time of the resurrection, put that spirit in a new body, and it comes to life again, and will retain all of the same thoughts and our personality and everything that we had. But Stephen fell asleep when he died. And so do all human beings fall asleep when they die. In Acts 13, verse 36, Acts 13:36, we find, again speaking about David, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he," that means Jesus, "whom God raised again, saw no corruption." So David fell asleep. Stephen fell asleep. All of the saints are sleeping, as we read in Daniel 12, until the time of their resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, again, we've been there already, but let's turn back there. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, verse 20. "But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of" what? "Those who sleep." See, the dead are asleep. And in verse 51, again, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And once more in 1 Thessalonians 4, which we turned to earlier, but one more time now, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are" what? "Asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep." So over and over again, the dead are referred to as simply being asleep until the time of the resurrection. Okay, so far we've seen that the dead are not in heaven, and we've seen that the dead are asleep. Having established these things, let's try to straighten out now why people get confused. Because there are other scriptures that make it seem as if the dead are conscious. Now, I hope you've followed everything we've covered so far. These are the scriptures, the ones that we've covered, which show that the dead are dead, but that there is a time coming when they will be resurrected from the dead. And in the meanwhile, the dead are simply asleep or unconscious. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Expect some surprises now. We're going to elevate to a higher plane of thinking. You know, the Bible is a profound book. It's not a simple book. God's intelligence is so great. His IQ is so high. And he's so creative and imaginative that there are thoughts in the Bible that simply rise up higher than anything else we can think of. And we're going to see some of that beginning right now. I'm going to ask you to be willing to grow a little bit, perhaps in certain concepts that you haven't thought of. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Or you could just say Adam woke up. He didn't wake up from the dead because he wasn't dead. He just didn't exist before. He woke up for the first time. He opened his eyes and he just woke up. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree. And then it refers to the two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you will surely die. Now you know the story. They took of the tree which God commanded them not to eat. Now, chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God he made him, male and female he created them, he blessed them. Now, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, Seth. Verse 4, and all the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, God told Adam, in the day that you eat of the tree, you will surely die. Now, Adam died spiritually on the very day that he took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But he continued to live for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and for the rest of Adam's life, Adam was dead while he was alive. You see, God told him, in the day that you eat of the tree, you will die. And Adam died on that day, but he continued to live until the time when he really did die completely and fell asleep, 930 years perhaps later. You know, we don't know how long it was into Adam's life that he took of the forbidden fruit. Let's hope it wasn't on the very first day or the second day of his life. Let's hope that he was able to enjoy the Garden of Eden for some time, maybe a few weeks or a few months or a few years, I don't know. It says Seth was born 130 years after Adam was created, so within 130 years of Adam's creation, all of these things happened, and Adam and Eve took of the tree, and Satan got to them, and God cast them out within 130 years of the time they were created. But they continued to live, you know, for another 800 years or so, and they were dead while they were alive. They were cut off from the tree of life. So in chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God was sorry that he made man, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. And God proceeded to send the flood, which destroyed the entire human race except for eight people, Noah and his family. Now you see, the human race had become the property of Satan the devil. And what was going on in people's minds and hearts was sin. Now let's turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. You see, the human race was dead while it was alive. So in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, we find the following. And you, Paul speaking to the church, you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now you see, church members who used to be a part of the world were dead while they were alive. How were they dead? They were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conduct in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has made us alive together with Christ. Now, how have we been made alive? By receiving God's Holy Spirit. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, in verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14 of chapter 1, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance. Now, when God gives us his Holy Spirit, that's the down payment of eternal life. We'll talk more about that shortly. But this is how God makes us alive. When we're baptized into Christ's death, according to Romans 6. And when we come up out of the water, we are in newness of life, just like Christ was raised from the dead. So church members have life in them, eternal life in them, whereas the rest of the human race is cut off from God and dead in trespasses and sins. You see, the Bible portrays the human race as being dead while it's alive. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated or cut off from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, the human race is simply cut off from God. They're alienated from the life of God. Just like Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and cut off from the tree of life. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. See, that's Satan's spirit being broadcast into people and they pick it up. But be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now that's by receiving God's Holy Spirit. You know, God's Spirit is the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new nature, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, this is how God makes us alive, while the rest of the human race is dead in their sins. All right, Colossians 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 13, one verse here. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I want to add this verse to the mix here. 2 Corinthians 5:14, I'm reading from the King James Bible, and it says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus reason that if one died for all, then all were dead. See, Paul is reasoning here that if God sent the Messiah to die for all, then all were dead. See, the human race is dead in trespasses and sins. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, here Paul is talking about a certain classification of widows. In 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, there are good widows, and then there are some not so good ones. And Paul is referring to the latter in verse 6 of 1 Timothy 5. He says, "But she that lives in pleasure is dead while she's alive." And that's because the whole human race is dead while it's alive. And in verse 13, he's talking about the same kind of widows here. They learn to be idle, wandering around from house to house, and they become gossips and busybodies, and so on. Now you see, people in this category are carnal-minded and dead while they're alive. And that's because the whole human race is dead while it's alive. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. Luke 9:59. A young man is speaking to Jesus. Jesus says, he told him, "Follow me." He said to him, "Follow me." But the young man said, "Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father." In other words, "Wait until my father dies and then I'll come and follow you." Verse 60, "And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.'" Now, when Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead," he was referring to living human members of the human race. He said, let those who are spiritually dead, because the whole human race is dead while it's alive, let the dead bury their dead. That may seem strong and perhaps harsh, but from the time of Adam, when they were cut off from God in the tree of life, the whole human race has been dead while they are alive. Luke chapter 15, as long as we're in Luke, it's a few chapters over, the story of the prodigal son. You know the story. We'll just break into verse 24. The prodigal son returns, and the father says, "For this my son was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found." And down in verse 32, "It was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found." You see, all of these scriptures simply illustrate that the human race is dead in their sins. The human race is dead while it's alive. Okay, understanding that, if it's possible for the living to be dead while they're alive, think carefully now. It is also possible in God's sight for the righteous dead to be alive while they're dead. Now, let me repeat that. If it's possible for living people to be dead while they're alive, which it is also possible for the righteous dead to be considered as being alive while they're dead. Now, let's look into this a little bit. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And here the Sadducees come and ask Jesus a question about the resurrection from the dead. In verse 23, "The same day came to Jesus the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question." And I think you know what the question is. They were asking him, which husband will this woman have in the resurrection? Now, verse 29, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'You do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" Now, this was a profound statement that Jesus made, because he was telling them that this statement by God, which appears in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush, when God told Moses that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus is saying God is the God of the living, not the dead. Now, Jesus was saying this to prove that there was a resurrection from the dead. In other words, God counted Abraham as being alive while he was dead. This wasn't supposed to prove that Abraham was conscious. No. Other scriptures prove that the dead are sleeping, and no man has gone to heaven. But God regarded Abraham as being alive, because God is the God of the living, not the dead. So God counts Abraham as being alive, though he's dead, and this is supposed to prove that there is a resurrection. Let's go further. John chapter 3, verse 36. I'm going to give you some scriptures from the book of John, because John talks about this concept over and over again. John 3, verse 36. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. See, right now. If you really, really believe on the Son of God, you have everlasting life right now, the scripture says. And he that does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It's a simple concept. Those who believe on Christ have everlasting life right now. John 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. See, you have everlasting life right now if you're in this category. Now why? Verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's talking about the resurrection. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. You know, Mr. Armstrong said, that's life with a capital L. See, God has life with a capital L. He has eternal life. But human beings, we only have this temporary physiochemical existence. We're like flowers in the grass that bloom and then die. Our life is like a battery flashlight, and the batteries run out after a while. We live for 70 or 80 years, the Bible says, and then we die. That's not life with a capital L. But God does have this life within himself, life with a capital L. And so does Christ. Verse 27, and has given him, Christ, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. If you believe Christ's words and have received God's Holy Spirit, that down payment that we read in Ephesians 1, the down payment of eternal life, then you have eternal life right now, in this life now, by God's Spirit that dwells in you. And it says in Romans 8:11 that if the Spirit of God is in you, then Christ will raise you from the dead by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. See, if on the day that you die, God's Holy Spirit is in you, then you will be in the first resurrection and be given eternal life. Your name is written in the book of life. So you have that down payment of eternal life now. You're as good as alive forever right now if God's Spirit is in you, as long as you continue to walk in God's Spirit. Okay, John chapter 6, verse 39, just on the next page in my Bible. 6:39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44, no man can come to me unless the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 53, then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 54, but whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. See, right now. And look, I will raise him up at the last day. If you partake of the Passover service, if you believe in Christ's shed blood and you've repented of your sins, you know, Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've done that, and God's Spirit is in you, and you keep the Passover, you have eternal life right now. and God will raise you up at the last day. Now, when you die, you'll fall asleep and you'll become unconscious, like Abraham and like all the saints in Hebrews 11, who died not having received the promises, but are waiting until the last trumpet, the second coming of Christ, and will all be rewarded at the same time. Those who have God's Spirit in them have eternal life right now. It's a down payment of eternal life. But we shall be changed into spirit, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, and so on, at the last trumpet. And we will become divine, immortal spirit beings at that time. We are not changed into spirit now, but if we have God's Spirit, that's the down payment of eternal life. This isn't that hard to understand. In chapter 8, verse 21, John 8:21, Jesus said to them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me and die in your sins." Now, Jesus was talking to a bunch of carnal-minded people here, and he said, "You're going to die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." Verse 22, "Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you will die in your sins, for if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Now that's the category that most human beings who have lived and died are in. The masses of humanity from Adam down till now, 6,000 years, the vast majority of them have died in their sins. But a few, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Noah, and others we read in Hebrews 11, and others who are not listed in Hebrews 11, they died in the Lord. Their names are written in the book of life, and they're slated to come up in the first resurrection. In verse 51 of the same chapter, John 8:51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Never. Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead?" Remember earlier Jesus said, God is the God of the living, not the dead. And God said, "I am the God of Abraham." And this was supposed to prove the resurrection from the dead. Now, verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he's your God. Yet you have not known him, but I do know him. And if I should say I don't know him, I'd be a liar like you. But now I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And that is a reference back to the burning bush in Exodus 3, the very chapter where God said, "I am the God of Abraham." Jesus was the Word. He was that God who talked to Moses at the burning bush. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Chapter 11 of John, we read these words earlier in the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Jesus asked. He asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" Now, putting all this together, you simply see that people who receive God's Spirit are alive from the dead right now, as we read in Ephesians 2:1. God has made us alive who used to be dead in sins. The human race is dead while it's alive, but the church members who have God's Spirit are alive while they're alive. We're going to see that there are four categories of human beings. There are those who are dead while they're dead. There are those who are alive while they're dead. Then there are those who are dead while they're alive, and those who are alive while they're alive. There's four categories. We'll try to make that clearer shortly. In 1 John 5 and verse 11, "And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life." See, this is the record that God has given to us, past tense, eternal life. "And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. That's life with a capital L. And he that has not the Son of God does not have life. So that's two of the classifications. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, right now. So the saints have eternal life right now and will be rewarded at the resurrection. Now, if you grasp this concept that the human race is dead while it's alive in general, most, 95-99% of the human race has been and is dead while it's alive, but that other 1% or whatever it is who have died in the Lord, such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're in a special category. They are alive in God's sight while they're dead. They were given eternal life in their human lifetimes by receiving God's Holy Spirit. And then they died and fell asleep, like the dead are sleeping. We covered all of that. But while they're sleeping, it's as if in God's sight they're alive, because their names are written in the book of life and God's going to resurrect them at the first resurrection. They're simply sleeping until the resurrection. So in God's sight, there are two kinds of dead people. Those who are dead in their sins, their names are not written in the book of life. And then there are those whose names are written in the book of life. And in God's sight, those people are alive while they're dead. Now turn over to Revelation 6, verse 9. Now we can begin to understand some scriptures that people who believe that the dead go to heaven when they die, which is an erroneous concept, why they get confused by these scriptures. Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, the dead cried out to God, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while longer, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now how can this be? Well, you see, it's as if God can hear them. This is being spoken from God's point of view. God can hear these people crying out to them. Remember when Cain killed Abel, and Abel was dead, and God said to Cain, The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Now, Abel's blood was not crying out, but it was as if God could hear Abel crying out to him. And God can hear in his mind, in his imagination, the righteous dead whom God knows. He watched them be slain for the word of God. And that means so much to God. And God can hear them crying to him in God's mind, in his imagination. So this fifth seal is put in here because this is God's perspective. He's going to wait a little while longer before he resurrects the saints, because there's a little bit more work to be done on the earth, and there's more saints who will be at the end of the age, and God is going to bring them into his kingdom too. Like it said at the end of Hebrews 11, that those saints who have died, not receiving the promises, won't be made perfect until this last generation of saints is also ready to be in that first resurrection. Now in Luke 16, verse 19, we have the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Now this is a parable. Now Jesus gave many parables in his ministry. And for example, he talked about the sower and the seed, and he talked about the wheat and the tares. Well, those stories didn't really happen. They were parables, but they were used to illustrate something. Now, this is a parable of Jesus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now, verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf, so that they which would pass from you to here cannot, neither can we go to you. Then he said, I pray you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come also to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And that's the point, that we're supposed to be listening to Moses and the prophets. But he said, no, Father Abraham, if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. And he said to him, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, this parable does not prove that the dead are conscious. It's a parable. But you see, in God's sight, the human race is dead while it's alive. But the righteous dead are alive while they're dead. Now, we've shown that David fell asleep, Stephen fell asleep, no man has ascended to heaven. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, including Abraham, and so on and so forth. Abraham won't be made immortal until the last generation of Christians are ready to be added to the first resurrection too. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 that as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But when? At his coming, it said. We will be changed at the last trumpet. The dead are asleep. No man has gone to heaven. I asked you to rise up to a new dimension of thinking. From God's point of view, the dead in Christ are alive. You know, like Jesus said about Abraham, that God is not the God of the dead, but the living. Now, Abraham died, but in God's sight, he's alive while he's dead. Now, here Christ gives a parable as if Abraham were alive. Just like the fifth seal, you know, God can hear the dead calling out to him, but they're dead. Now, here's a parable given to illustrate the fact that we should be thinking about the future, the long-range future. Are we destined to be in the first resurrection? Or there's another resurrection, which is not to life. It says in Revelation 20, the rest of the dead did not live again till the 1,000 years were finished. And then it talks about the great white throne judgment and finally a lake of fire. So we have to put all the scriptures together. Romans 4, verse 17, might help explain that parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Romans 4, verse 17, Paul is talking about Abraham, and he says, as it is written, now I'm quoting from Genesis, God said, I have made you a father of many nations. Now that's past tense. You see, God told Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations, but it hadn't happened yet. So Paul continues, before him whom he believed, even God who raises the dead and calls those things which do not exist as if they did exist. You see, God can do that. Because if God says he's going to do something, no one can stop him from doing it, and it's as good as done, even though he hasn't done it yet. So if God tells you that he has done something, but it's something that hasn't happened yet, it means God's going to do it, and you're supposed to wait in faith until God says that he will do what he says he has already done but hasn't done yet. It is as good as done. So God can do that. Okay, now, we've said that there are four classifications of human beings. I'm going to take the microphone off for a second and go to the blackboard and just draw a little chart of what we're talking about here. Now, I'll make a box. I'll draw the box or split it into four categories. Now, the top two categories will be those who are living, and they are conscious. And then there are those who are dead and unconscious. So this is the present living generation on the top box, and these are the generations of those who have died. Now, there are those who are righteous. That will be these two categories. And then there are those who are sinful. So you have the living righteous. Hopefully we're in that category. They're alive while they're alive. Alive while they're alive. Then you have the sinful living, who are conscious in our present generation, most of humanity, they're dead while they're alive. Alive while alive, dead while alive. Then you have the righteous dead, like Abraham, they're alive while they're dead in God's sight. They've already been given eternal life by the down payment of God's Holy Spirit. And because they died with God's Spirit, God's going to resurrect them by that Spirit. They're as good as alive, but they're sleeping. But they're alive while they're dead. And then you have the vast majority of humans who have lived and died from Adam on. They're dead while they're dead. Their names are not written in the book of life. So you have the four categories. The first one, alive while they're alive. Second, dead while they're alive. The third, alive while they're dead. And the fourth, dead while they're dead. Those are the four categories of human beings. Sometimes it helps to make a little chart. All right, we've shown that the dead are not in heaven. We've shown that the dead are asleep. We've shown that there are these four categories of human beings here. Some are dead while they're alive. Some are alive while they're dead. If we put all this together, we can begin to think on the plane that God is presenting to us in the Scriptures. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from this time onward. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And then turning over to chapter 20, Revelation 20, verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast or his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now that statement right there proves that the dead are not alive, because it says they didn't live. So you see, it's possible for a human being to live and then die and not be alive, and then to be resurrected again, and they live again, according to this verse. And then the second death after that, if they're slated for that. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Dropping down to verse 12, And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Now, we've covered the Scriptures that prove that the dead are asleep and no man has gone to heaven. So if we follow the Scriptures today, and if the Scriptures are our guide, and if we've understood these things, then we should be able to understand and be able to explain to those who don't believe quite the way we do. We should be able to show them why we believe that the dead are asleep and unconscious, waiting to the time that they will be resurrected from the dead.